morning.
You're the first to arrive, right?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Let's give it a few more minutes.
Okay.
Tony, doing all right?
Yes, it's slow progress, but he's gaining in strength. Those stents, you know, will clear out that system for him. And right now he's sleeping. He did go to work this morning, and of course it didn't, but about 30, 40 minutes, and came back and ate, and now he's sleeping. So that's pretty typical, but a few days after the procedure.
Yeah, no, wherever they put it in the body, the stents, the procedures are really the same. So they just mm-hmm. go through different veins or arteries. But
well, with this, it isn't the veins, it's the biliary, the bile ducts, and they're very, very tiny. And they're not perfected like the other stents are for other parts of the body. So that's, you know, a disadvantage. But the one they put in a year ago that they bypassed when he took the stent out, it was not clogged. You know, it stayed open, let me put it that way. So we're hoping that, you know, the tooth leading from the liver we'll do the same thing, hopefully in 6 weeks. It may take longer, so if it does, you'll put them back in. You know, it's just we thought we were going to be finished, and it's not finished.
Understand.
I think it's the negative system just trying to wear us down. We're not going to be worn down. So. Oh.
Just, you know, you just keep going forward and it'll all work out.
Well, it's, you know, the thoughts that want to start in your head. It could be this or this will happen or, you know, this could happen, you know, and it's to throw those out as soon as the first word comes in your head. So,
correct.
Learning process.
Hopefully, that's the issue. That's what we strive for.
You just can't do it for the other person, though. That's so,
no.
Anyway.
Or actually, the only way to do it for the other person is to do it for yourself. And through that light, revelation of life, they'll be able to see it.
Right. Well, I guess that's what I'm doing. So.
Understand.
And through the whole thing, you see Hashem, his hand just following you anyway, you know. It was almost an impossibility to get an appointment the very next day. And the doctor wanted us to go back to Lake Charles and have it done in Lake Charles. And I told him I had packed a bag. I know him. And I saw how he had gone down over the weekend, and he couldn't wait for a week or 2 weeks or maybe 6 weeks. And then Tony spoke up and said, I want you to do it. And he walked out and he came back in and he said, I'll do it on my lunch hour tomorrow. And I said, well, for us, it's Yom Kippur. But this is a matter of life and death. So I want you to know that we're going to accept that and take, you know, that date and appreciate you doing that. And then after the procedure and after he told us what happened, as he left, he said, Happy Yom Kippur. So, I don't know what he knows, or he was from Vinton, where Malka is from, you know, just maybe 15 minutes from here. So he's a Louisiana-born doctor in our neighborhood. So anyway. But if we'd have come back to Lake Charles, for one thing, they don't have the skill, and it was more than just removing the stent. So, okay, I think somebody came on.
Yes, Judy, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute.
Okay.
Okay. today we are getting back on track with the Psalms class. So we're going to be studying Psalm or Tehillim 70. You'll find the handout on the Unique Astrological Times link underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage, or on the mobile devices, it's usually at the bottom of the page. When that landing page opens up, scroll down to the section on Ta'anit Dibur, which is right after the Hanukkah section. And the first link will open up the Psalms landing page. And we'll start with the L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kud Shabar Yifu Ishkin Teibit Hilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu L'Yakta L'Shem Yud He Bavav He V'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Tehillim 70. David prays that his enemies be shamed and humiliated for their shaming him and reveling in his troubles. Then the righteous will rejoice and chant songs and praises always. The above kavanah is a traditional kavanah to use when saying this psalm. The first word is Lam Natzeah. And I'm recommending that you review the introduction to Rabbi Sutton's Yearning for Redemption PDF. That's the second link in the Ta'anit Dibur section. There are six verses in Psalm 70, and the number six connects to the six sephirot of Zeranpin. And there is a link to the Mechon Mamre Psalms page. Rabbi Sutton has not completed Psalm 70 or 71. So we're going to use the Mechon Mamre solely, whereas in Psalm 69 we were going back and forth, and we will do that in other psalms as well. We just don't have that availability in this psalm. And six verses is not a lot, and the same aspects apply to Psalm 71. So more than likely we will be able to start doing Psalm 71 today as well, perhaps complete it. Psalm 70, chapter 1 and 2, or verses 1 and 2, I didn't mean chapter. Lam Natzeach leDavid leHazkir Elohim leChatzileini Hashem liEzrati Husha. For the leader, a psalm of David to make memorial. Elohim, to deliver me. Hashem, to help me. Make haste. It's kind of interesting to me why they would combine the two verses. I don't really understand why yet. Verse 3. Yevo shuvayach peru mevakshe nafshi yisogu achor V'yikal muchaf etze ra'ati. Let them be ashamed and abashed that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and brought to confusion that delight in my hurt. This is a issue, a question that we need to consider. King David is saying, I want retribution. Why would he say that? We have a mitzvah to not bear a grudge. Why are we looking forward? Why is King David looking forward to the effect of these other people's negative actions? Yes, they were directed at him, but King David, being the righteous person that he is, knows that their negative actions towards him, he needed to experience those negative actions for whatever reason. It's part of his tikkun. They did not have to be the instruments, the hands of Hashem, so to speak, to provide that pain to King David. So King David knows that they will receive the effect of their negative action. But why would he want to pray for that? To ask Hashem for that? It's a difficult quandary. Page 4. Yashuvu alikev vashtam ha'omrim he'ach, he'ach. Let them be turned back by reason of their shame that say, aha, aha. Now, this word, he'ach, is repeated. But if you look at the word, it has a he at the beginning, which means the definite article. And then the word ach, aleph chet, which means brother. And I can't pinpoint the logical expression of it, but intuitively I know this duplication of the word brother is relating to the questions that I've asked in verse 3. Verse 5. Yasisu. V'yishmechu b'cha, kol mevachshecha, v'yomru tamid, yigdal Elohim ohavai yeshuatecha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let Hashem be magnified. But the word for God is Elohim. We know Elohim is judgment, Hashem is mercy. And so we've transitioned from praying for the negative actions of another person to manifest their effect. We've stopped that, and now we are praying for the vessel, all of the people that are seeking to be happy and rejoice in Hashem's love. But it's not Hashem, it's Elohim. How do we understand it? The sixth verse. Hu ani ani ve'evyon Elohim Hu shali Ezri umpalti ata Adonai yohe wache al te'achar. But I am poor and needy. Elohim, make haste unto me. Thou art my help and my deliverer, Hashem. Tarry not. There are 12 words in verse 6 connecting to the 12 tribes of Israel. And what is being said about the 12 tribes of Israel? They are poor and needy. They are in lack. They have something missing. So please bring the strength and power, because that's also the attributes of Elohim. And please hurry up and bring the mercy into my life. Bring the fulfillment. The verse is complete. The psalm is complete. But we are left with thoughts and questions. Does anyone have any questions or comments on Psalm 70?
Well, I'd like to say something. It makes me wonder those days that he was in the field with the sheep with a lot of time to think and all that. He basically knew that the actions that were happening, that he saw them in himself. I mean, we know he came down from a very low Klipot level. And that things would change. To me, years ago, that word salvation was an important word. And it was in David's Psalms, always asking for deliverance, always asking for salvation. I saw through these Psalms that salvation wasn't something that you received after you died. That it was that David was being delivered while he was here on the earth, experiencing Hashem's salvation and deliverance. So the words were important to me. If one of the principles is when other people are our mirror, that this might well be the case. And he actually, in verse 4, when he's saying, let them be turned back by reason of their shame, that's right. In other words, he's not really asking them to beat him up, so to speak, because these are his brothers. And whether it's his siblings or whether it's just even the people in the community, and especially since it follows Psalm 69, that we delved so deeply into and saw it wasn't just his brothers, even the townspeople were accusing him of stealing and things that he had not done. So
right.
I think the aha is a mild connection to mercy. That's what he's asking on his brothers and all others with the use of Elohim, mild judgment on them.
Well said. And I thank
Hello.
You for that. Yes, Judy.
Okay. On like verse 3, let them be ashamed and abashed and seek after my soul. Let them turn backwards. It's not that he wants them to be punished, but that he wants Hashem to bring them to a place to repent, to do teshuva. Is that what he's kind of telling us here?
Well said also, Judy. Both your comments are very helpful to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm going to mute again.
Thank you.
If you go back to the Psalms landing page, we'll start on Tehillim 71. In this awe-inspiring prayer, David speaks of his enemies' desire to kill him, declaring him deserving of death. The above kavanah is a traditional kavanah to use when saying the psalm. The first word is Your Hashem comes. And please refer to the introduction. It's not a normal introduction, first word to the Psalms. It's an unusual one. There are 24 verses in Psalm 71. And then 24 connects to the number of hours in a day, which is 12 of light and 12 of dark. And there are 67 verses said on day 13 of the month. 67 connects to the Hebrew words with the same gematria that translates as and I, and eat, and your mother. 67 is the gematria of the Hebrew word bina, which translates as understanding, but it also is a sephirah. And that sephirah has nicknames as the energy store, but also is a description of the world that is coming, the world that our physical world will become when the tikkun is completed. Verse 71, Tehillim 71, verse 1. Becha Hashem chasiti al avosha leolam. In thee, Hashem, have I taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. The real question is Tehillim 70 and Tehillim 71, should they not be one? Obviously, when the scrolls were written, the Psalms were put in the order by the sages. The Psalms were put in the order by being hands of Hashem, tools of Hashem, to put them on the scroll in the order they put them. So there was a reason to separate them, and that reason relates to us Because Hashem has no separation. Verse 2. Betzid kadha tatsileni utfalteni tatei lies nechavoshieni. Deliver me in your righteousness and rescue me. Incline thine ear and unto me and save me. Seven words indicating the combination of Zeran, Pin, and Malchut, the unity thereof. Thirty-seven letters connects to the concealed aspect of Bima. As we know that the name of God that connects to Bina, when spelled out, has a gematria of 63. When we remove the revealed aspect, which is 26, Hashem's four-letter name, the number that is left is 37, representing the concealed letters, the concealed energy of Hashem's name at the level of Bina. Verse 3. Hey, Eli, Lutzur Maom Lavo, Tamid Tibi Talehoshiemi, Kisalium Sudati Ata. Be thou to me a sheltering rock, whereunto I may continually resort, which thou hast appointed to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. It is a very interesting sequence, that last four words. Ki means then or if. Sal-i is either rock or fortress. The gematria of Sal-i is 170, which is 10 times 17. Translation of my rock or my fortress, it's not a normal word for rock. It may be the word for fortress, but I don't see the third word, umsudati, being a word for rock either. So those three words are in sequence quite unusual. But then you have this big separation, not big, you know, two or three spaces, but it's for the word you. And in Hebrew, we can move the word orders around. That's very common. But it seems unusual. In the English translation, you don't see it. For if thou art my rock and my fortress, or you are. The translation is, you can see how they struggle with it. And the presentation of that space is in the scroll. That's one of the reasons I use the Machon Mamre, because it specifies these spaces.
Hello.
Yes, Hana, go ahead.
I think he can also be translated as because. Because.
That's correct. That's correct.
Would that change it somehow?
Well,
rather,
their translation is the word for, F-O-R.
Mm-hmm.
But you could say, because thou art my rock and my fortress. It's very, the essence of the word is being expressed either in, with either translation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to note that there are 13 words in this verse, which is an indication of total, a total unity. And there are 49 letters, which connects to the 49 letters that are in the Shema Yisrael and the Baruch Shem, those first two verses of the Shema. It's connecting to this, to the 49 days of the counting of the Omer. So the unity is being expressed in many different ways and many different levels. The fourth verse. Elohai palteni miyad rasha mikach v'awel v'chomet. Elohim, rescue me out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the unrighteous and the ruthless man. And this is actually a metaphorical translation, because the word mikaf literally would be translated from the palm. And they're translating it as the word grasp. Seven words connecting to the Zeranpin and Malchut unity. Twenty-seven letters connecting to all 27 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse. Ki ata ki tikwati Adonai Hashem miftachi minurai. For thou art my hope, Hashem. Adonai Hashem, my trust from my youth. I would submit without any knowledge, just the thought occurs to me. We don't usually see the phrase Adonai Hashem. We see it Hashem Adonai, and we also see it as Hashem, Hashem, or Elohim Hashem. There are times in various verses, various locations. occasions that we use these different names of God in connection. But we normally connect the eight letters by intertwining them using the shiluv tool. Here they're separate. Are we being directed to do a shiluv with those words as to understand and expand our consciousness of this verse? The sixth verse. Alecha nismachti mi beten mi mei mi. Ata gozi becha techilati tamit. Upon thee have I stayed myself from birth. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's womb. My praise is continually of thee. Let me explain the last three words and why the translation is what it is. The kaf at the second letter in the word is really meaning you or your. It's a personal, a pronoun. A possessive pronoun, I mean. But what is it being connected to? It's being connected to the letter bet, which can stand for blessings. The next word, tehilati, comes from the same root as the tehillim. But it's basically being the idea of my praise. But Tehillim, do we think in terms of Tehillim that the word Psalms has an indication of praising? There are other words for praise. Tehillim does mean praise. But there's so much more to the Tehillim, and there's so much more here to this word, tehilati. The yud at the end means it's possessive mine, my praise. But why is the taf entered? It's a feminine ending. It's very common in the Torah to see the taf entered just in the second to the last letters of words. But we have no explanation, at least yet in my study of Hebrew. I have no explanation for why this is being used, why this letter is. We know the Taf is the end, but it's also a new beginning, as represented by the leg, the left leg on the Taf. And Tamid is a beautiful word that's being spoken of or translated as continually. And that's a good translation, but we know that the Tamid means eternal as well. Continual is eternal. But it will change our understanding. Because then we would say the translation should be, my praise of thee is eternal. There are nine words. Either it's Chachma, either it has wisdom, or it has creativity. But through Yesod, we need to count the letters as we have talked about it repeatedly. 39 letters. 39 is the Hebrew word tal, meaning dew. And we know that it's the dew of the resurrection. And now we see a connection as to why the letter tav is added in the word praise in Tehillah. Because it's the end and the beginning. The 39 is the resurrection, which is the end and the beginning. The seventh verse. Kumo fed hayiti lirabim uata machasios. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. I'm going to explain a secret on the word we'ata. The word ata translates as you, masculine, in Hebrew. We say Baruch Ata, Hashem. We don't have to say the Ata when we say blessings. We could just say Baruch Hashem. Why do we say Baruch Ata, Hashem? Is because the letters of Ata, Aleph, Taf, He, represent the Shekhinah, Aleph to Taf, all the letters of the vessel, all the energy of a vessel, all the essence of the female aspect of Hashem, At, the Shekhinah. And it's injected into the hay, the vessel of the physical world. Now this Ata, this Shekhinah, is being connected to the letter Vav, which represents Zerantin, it represents Moshe, it represents male energy, while the Ata represents female energy, both being injected into the physical world. It's a very powerful word. It's unusual to see the Vav connected to the word Ata. That does happen from time to time, but it's not a usual form. Verse 8. Imalefi tehilatecha kol hayom tifartecha. My mouth shall be filled with thy praise and with thy glory all the day. Or it could be every day. And that is a lesson we need to learn, to constantly be praising Hashem by thinking of Him. You can be doing your mundane tasks while you do praise Hashem through your thoughts that are centered on Hashem. And it's at that method, that process, that you become a channel rather than a vessel. And what is the difference between a vessel and a channel? A channel has no end, it's a pipe. You go in one end and flow out the other. But as long as you do that, some of the essence of what flows through it sticks to the walls. And you essentially receive more than you would receive as a vessel, which has an end. Verse 9. Al tashlicheni le'et zikna ki chlot kochi al te'azveni. Cast me not off in the time of old age. When my strength fails, forsake me not. Hold on 1 second, please. I'm going to call the class because we aren't going to finish the psalm today anyway. And I just had a visit. So please have a beautiful day. Shabbat Shalom. And next class will be at 7 o'clock, Motzi Shabbat. Shalom to all. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom. Thank you. That's a good class.